Good morning. The reading today is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, as we begin our sermon series on God's garden with the parable of the sower and the seeds. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Happy New Year. A blessed New Year. For many of us, of course, our hope is that this new year is better than the last one. We're starting off this new year with a new sermon series, as I said a moment ago, with entitled God's Garden, where each week we'll talk about a various seed that's planted in God's garden and how we will make application of that in our lives today. Before we get into that particular story, I thought it appropriate to kick off this series of God's garden with that wonderful parable that Jesus taught us, the parable of the sower and the seeds, as recorded in Luke chapter 8 that you just heard. This, of course, is a familiar parable. Here's a bit of a modern spin on the parable, so just bear with me for a moment as I share it this particular way. One cool spring morning, an old man got up and opened the back door to his little farmhouse. It's early in the morning. There still are a couple of stars out in the sky. The grass is covered with dew. He walks over to the barn, pulls open the large doors to see his old Massey Ferguson. He walks over to the machine. Smell of old grease, diesel fuel, and dust fill the air. I can kind of just smell that smell, can't you? Yeah. The old man climbs on the old rusty red machine, turns on the key. The motor turns over. A black smoke starts billowing out from the exhaust. He puts the tractor in gear, heads toward the field. It's planting day. As he drives down the dusty road, he hits a bump, and he turns around to see some of the seed that he was going to be planting that day laying there among the gravel in the road. The old man thinks to himself, "Well, there goes a lot of valuable seed." A car drives past, runs over some of the spilled seed. The old man knew that soon the crows would be there to clean up the mess. He continues to drive toward his fields. As the old man gets closer, he looks at all the work that had been done, and he thought about the work that would be done as well. His field was perfectly tilled, straight lines, not a weed in sight. He pulls up to the gate, climbs down off his machine. The dew is now soaking through his boots. He can feel the cold on his toes. He swings the gate open, pulls the Massey Ferguson into position. The old man lumbers his tractor along the rows, and he starts to scatter seed along the first row. He knows it's getting good coverage because little bits of the seed are falling off the side among the rocks and the thorns in the ditch. He worked all day, stopping only to refuel. The seed was planted. The job for the day was done. But as the weeks went by, the old man would go to check on his field. He drove the same dusty lane as before, but this time in his pickup. He stops and looks at where the seed had spilled there on the gravel. There wasn't anything left, not a single grain. The old man thinks to himself, I wish those plants could have been saved. But he just rolls back up the window, drives down to the gate that leads into the field. This time the old man backs the truck in. The tailgate groans as he sits down to look at his work. His eyes gaze over the field, and something catches his attention. There in the ditch was some of his crop. So he walks over to one of the plants, which is now brown and dead. He plucks it from the rocks. Not enough water, the old man mutters to himself. Then he looks further down the ditch, and he notices some of his other plants there among the weeds and the thistles. They too were brown and shriveled up. The old man knew the other plants had taken the moisture and the nutrients that his crop needed and had choked those young plants to death. The old man stands up and walks up to the top of the ditch. The sun is just starting to peek over the trees, and now he can see his entire field. His crop had taken better than he had ever seen it. This was going to be the biggest harvest he had ever had. His crop had taken over the entire field. The old man knew that he was looking at more plants than he could ever even imagine. He hadn't planted this much, but the seed was incredibly good, and so was the soil. Modern day interpretation of that parable. Well, in Luke, after Jesus tells that parable to the crowds, the disciples pull him off to the side and say to Jesus, please explain what this parable means. We don't quite understand it. For most of us, though, we have the explanation in Scripture, and so we kind of have the, you might say, the cheat notes. We know what happens. We know that the seed is the Word of God. And the various conditions are where the seed falls, or the various conditions of people's lives with respect to hearing and believing in that Word of God, that seed planted in our lives. And like the parable, not everyone's open to hearing God's Word. Some people have hardened hearts, kind of like Pharaoh's heart was hardened when God sent Moses to release the people of Israel from slavery, and God kept sending plague after plague after plague, and Pharaoh's heart kept getting hardened and hardened. Some people outright reject God's Word. And other people, that seed takes root, but the soil is shallow. They don't nourish the seed that's planted, and it quickly dries up and it withers away. Yet in others, the seed takes root and it grows, but there are other things in this world that are more interesting than the Word of God. So the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, again, kind of choke out that seed. But to those who hear, receive, and believe, that Word of God grows and produces abundant fruit. So the parable sets us up to think about God's garden in this new year. Again, each week we'll be looking at a different type of seed that's planted. Today, our focus is up on the honeydew melon. Anybody ever eat a honeydew melon? Aren't those really good? That fruit is just sweet, luscious, mouth-watering. Oh, I can just taste one right now. They are known to be one of the sweetest of all the melons. And they have some added health benefits as well, if you didn't know that. They are rich in vitamin C. They contain important nutrients like potassium, some of the B vitamins, and magnesium. So not a bad fruit to add to any of your meal. All right, but tell me that you're not just thinking about the honeydew melon, right? When we hear that word honeydew, many of us think of another kind of fruit. that is perhaps not nearly so sweet. Yes, I'm talking about those honey-do lists that we all have. It's that list that your wife or your husband has for you when they're off busy doing something else. And I don't know about you, but ever since Joyce and I now have our own home, that list of honey-do seems just to be a little bit longer. The joys of home ownership, right? Yes. Others of us, as we begin a new year, and Daniel alluded to this a while ago, we make our own personal list of honey-dos. We call them resolutions, New Year's resolutions. How many of you, just be honest here, how many of you have made or are going to make some New Year's resolutions? Raise your hands. Nobody? I think that other crowd stayed home that's raising their hands, so yeah. Well, but a lot of people do that, right? I mean, some of those New Year's resolutions, the most popular are the ones that most people think about, diet and exercise, right? We know how that works. But some of those other ones, maybe it's getting rid of a bad habit. Maybe it's giving back to your community. Maybe it's reading a book or a couple of books in the new year. Maybe it's starting a new hobby. Maybe it's investing more time in your family. There's a whole list of things that we could make as New Year's resolutions, and I think most of us realize they're not bad things, but how good we are really at keeping those New Year's resolutions. Maybe that's why we don't make them, right? Because we know we start strong, right? I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to put energy and effort into it. And, you know, the weeks go by, a couple months go by, and you go like, yeah, okay, not doing that anymore. We go back to old habits. We get stuck in old patterns. Think about all those honey-dos that we're thinking of, whether it's the melons or the honey-do list or the resolutions. They're all good. But when I think about the parable of the sower and the seed, it brings me back to our focus on God. So what is our honey-do list for God in this new year? Isn't that important also? Isn't our faith important? But also, like the parable of the sower and the seed, sometimes that gets choked out in our lives by all the cares and concerns around us. There was a wise leader who was talking about vision a few years back, and he said, we fill our vision buckets up, but they have holes. They leak. The holes are the cares and the concerns of the world around us. And he said, we have to keep refilling those buckets because they do leak. Well, the same is true with our faith. It's not just a one-and-done thing. I can't just say, hey, I've been to church, I'm good for the rest of the year. I've read my Bible, I'm good for the rest of the year. It doesn't work that way. We have to keep filling up that faith bucket, or to put it in context of the seed, we have to keep watering and nourishing that faith, or it's not going to grow. So how do we do that? How do I fill my faith bucket? How do I nourish that seed of God's word that the Holy Spirit has planted in my heart and in my soul? You know, it's really not hard. It's not rocket science. It's simply using the tools that God has given us to begin with. We put that together, of course, and you know this acronym here at Holy Ghost. It's those same tools that God gives us, just put in a package that it makes good sense for us. The G-R-A-C-E-D. It's on the front of your bulletin. I've got it up on the screen. Let's review that, because these are basics of the faith that are important tools for us to be using every day of our lives. The first is what? The G stands for go to God daily in prayer. I cannot tell you how important prayer is. Prayer is our ongoing conversation with our Heavenly Father, the one who created us, the one who continues to provide for us. So prayer is that connection that begins that process and strengthens our faith. The R stands for read God's word daily. So I encourage you in this new year, and don't just do this for a couple of months, do it every day for the rest of the year. Carve out some time, 10, 15 minutes, maybe 30 if you're like really adventurous on this, but be in God's word. Open those Bibles, dust them off. Well, where do I start, Pastor? Well, anywhere you want. But I don't encourage. You're going to say, this sounds kind of crazy, but I don't encourage you to start in Genesis and go all the way through. If you want to do that, great, because once you get past Exodus, you kind of get bogged down in all the laws and stuff. I would encourage people to start with the Gospels, to read the story of Jesus and his love for us. Those are great places to start reading your Bible. The other places are Paul's letter. He gives us some great instructions through the early church, to the early church leaders, to early Christians who struggle with the cares of the world around them. So there's great advice in there in Paul's letters. Or the Psalms, great poetry that speaks to us in so many ways. Those are great places to start to begin reading your Bibles. If you want a specific plan, give myself or Pastor Bobby a call. We'll work with you on what you might want to read in your Bibles. But be in God's Word every day. The A is attend worship regularly. Worship's a place where we get our batteries recharged. We hear God's Word here in worship. We read our Bibles. We turn to that Word. We hear the music which lifts our spirits and our souls. We come together in fellowship with one another to support and encourage each other. That's what worship is about. The C is for connecting in a small group or a Bible study. We've got a number of small groups that have been started. Thanks to Kim Gibbs for all her hard work in the last year and a half on all of that. We also have several Bible study opportunities. Sunday morning, we're doing the book of Acts right now, and I don't know what the other class is doing, but they're in the Bible too. We've got other opportunities during the week. In fact, I'm starting a new one on Revelation on this coming Wednesday night, 5:30 p.m., down the fellowship hall. There's an announcement in your bulletin on that one, so I'm just giving a plug right there for that. But plenty of opportunities to be with someone else, studying together, praying together, reading together in God's Word. The E is for engaging in service, both at church and in the community. There are plenty of ministry teams and opportunities here at church for you to plug in and to serve God in this place, but also many in the community. In a few moments, we're going to celebrate. Pastor Clint put together a little video of our Mexico mission trip. They went right before Christmas. They took the buckets that many of you helped fill, and you'll get to see the results of that beautiful mission trip that we took down there. But that's one way. You know, whether you went in person yourself or whether you helped fill a bucket or whether you prayed over one of those families, that's doing mission. The D then, of course, is dedicating yourself to the tithe and beyond. Just a reminder that God has so richly blessed each and every one of us, and sometimes we take that for granted. But this is our way to give back, to honor God, to glorify God, to continue to support the mission and ministry of God's work in our world today. Those are all basic things, basic tools that God gives us. And when we engage in these practices, these disciplines, it helps us grow in our faith, help keep that seed nourished of God's Word in our lives. It strengthens our relationships, and it brings us joy. As Luke shares at the end of that story today, as for that seed in the good soil, they are those who hear. Hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Again, simple things, but they require hard work and intentionality. You don't harvest a garden without planting the seed and tilling the soil, do you? Same with our faith. We've got to be in the word. We've got to be in prayer and all those things. We've got to work at that so that our faith can indeed grow strong. And when it does, may it blossom and nourish and bear fruit to the world, to a world that needs to hear that good news. So may we in this new year spend some time intentionally being in God's Word and intentionally using these gifts that God's given us so that we may grow in faith and share that faith with others.